I'd like to welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. This morning's broadcast is brought to us in honor of Bob and Jennifer Dorio's 48th, I believe, Bob, if not correct, 48th wedding anniversary. So, and also the altar flowers this morning are provided by the Mugging Buddies, also in honor of Bob and Jennifer. So we praise also the beautiful decorations that are provided for us for this Sunday morning. And you that are listening on the radio audience this morning, if you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gifts would be greatly appreciated. Gifts may be sent to the church here. We're located at the Trinity United Methodist Church at 3333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning, the scripture reading is a little different than what we've had before. Our scripture is taken this morning from Exodus, the 16th chapter, using verses 2 to 15. But we're going to have a special narration and portrayal of the scripture reading during this morning. We're also very honored this morning to have special music. And at this time, I'd like you to welcome and join us in praise as we welcome Devin Cornett and Joseph Asher as they bring us their tribute to God in song and music.
Good morning, church. We love audience participation, so please join us in singing How Great Thou Art.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and lead me home, with joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
How great thou art, how great thou art.
I would like to invite our radio audience to join us next Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. for our Harvest Festival. We will have lots of good old-fashioned family fun. There'll be hot dogs, chips, drinks, a bouncy house, a visit from the fire department, crafts, and lots of wonderful harvest decorations. So please come on out and enjoy the fun, food, and fellowship.
Morning scripture, as I said, is given to us from Exodus, the 16th chapter, verses 2 to 15. This morning, I'd like you to listen to this message as we try to portray it to you in narrative and prose, and also try to visualize the setting as we present this to you. The people of Israel left Elim and journeyed further into the desert between Elim and Mount Sinai, arriving there 1 month after their escape from Egypt. But before long, the people began to complain again. "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they said and moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death." Then the Lord said to Moses,
"I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual."
So Moses and Aaron called a meeting of all the people. And Aaron told the people what God had said.
"By evening you will realize that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glorious presence of the Lord, because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us."
"What have we done that you should complain about us?"
"The Lord will give you meat to eat in the morning, in the evening, and bread to satisfy you in the morning. For he has heard all your complaints."
Then Moses said to Aaron,
"Announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourself before the Lord. Come into his presence and hear for yourself his response to your complaints."
And as Moses and as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying,
"I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat. In the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God."
And that evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. "What is it?" they asked each other. Moses told them,
"It is the food the Lord has given to you to eat."
Isn't that our human nature? God provides, and we complain. What is it? It was food. It was substance. It kept us going. It dropped from the sky. But is that not our human response, our fear, our response to the unknown, to the unexpected? Max Lucado has a saying, "Extra grace required people." People whose response to the unknown, the unexpected, people who are in fear, people who are struggling with some issue, tend to complain. And these people rub off our rough edges as if they were sandpaper. And if we take a good look at what they are going through rather than simply finding them annoying and try to have compassion, we not only have a different perspective, but we grow and our rough edges are sanded off. Now, of course, any of you who have children and have been in a hurry, especially to get more than one child ready at a time, don't take too kindly to having those rough edges sanded off. I remember getting my four kids ready to go somewhere in the winter, putting their hats, their gloves, their scarves, their coats, and their boots on. And by the time I got to the third or fourth one, the first one was stripping. Ugh. All of us have times where complaining people just rub our last nerve raw. That's where we need to find our strength and grace from God and realize they're going through something. They're not putting us through something. When people have complaints, they frequently take them to their leaders. Pastors are often targets of people's needs. And when we recognize those as needs and fears, and we respond in kind, we do much better. They want us to heal their loved ones. They want help in repairing damaged relationships. They want us to make their children behave. We care, we listen, we pray, and we remind them that we are but agents of God and the outcome is up to God. I can really relate to Moses at times when his people were murmuring and complaining in the wilderness. Because you see, after a point in time, they weren't just complaining because they were afraid. They weren't just complaining because they had a lack. They started directing their complaints at Moses. Why did you take us out of Egypt just to bring us out here in the wilderness so we could die? At least we had plenty of meat in Egypt. At least we wouldn't starve to death. Perhaps you recall seeing the movie Field of Dreams. Anyone with Kevin Costner in it? Oh, I love that movie. One of the phrases Kevin Costner keeps hearing in that story is ease his pain. It meant to forgive his father, who was deceased, for pushing him and wanting him to play baseball. He could ease his pain by forgiving his father. And in his mind's eye, playing catch with his father out in the field. However, this was fantasy. It was not possible to go back in time and change the direction of that relationship. But it was possible for him to forgive. And it was possible for him to be grateful that his father did push him into that area. For baseball was his love and it had given him a lot. It is not possible for us to go back and correct our mistakes. It is not possible for us to undo our failures, but it is possible for us to learn from them, to grow from them, and to enter into the next endeavor, a stronger, wiser person, and to go on and to pass that knowledge on to others. When God promised that there would be bread or manna or meat, in this case, quail. God promised enough food for each day. And he even made it so that there would be enough collected for 2 days so that they would have Sabbath rest. In spite of their grumbling, the Lord provided. He gave them all that they really needed. But again, we humans are not satisfied. We always want more. If we really stop and think about it, when we grumble, when we're jealous, when we envy, are we not slapping God in the face and saying, what you have provided is not good enough, Lord? I believe that if we kept something like that in mind, we would be less likely to grumble. We would be less likely to be jealous or envious of what another person had, and we would be grateful for what our Lord has provided for us. Bob Hope died in 203 at age 100. Before he died, his wife Dolores asked him where he would like to be buried, and in his typical humor, he said, surprise me. One night, when Bob was in the prime of his life, he reported his activity for the day. He said, my heart beat 103,369 times. My blood traveled 168 miles. I breathed 23,040 times. I inhaled 4,300 cubic feet of air. I ate 3.25 pounds of food and drank 2 pounds of liquid. And I perspired about half of that much out. I generated 450 tons of energy and I spoke 4,800 words. The children of Israel were tired. They were tired and crabby. Just as Bob Hope said, after doing all that, I'm tired and I think I have the right to be tired. Well, the children of Israel thought they had the right to be tired. Rather than being grateful for having been saved from slavery, you see, being saved and brought out of slavery was only the tiniest part of that battle. Taking the mindset of slavery out of the Israelites was the biggest part of that battle. Their anxiety distorted their memories of the recent past. They forgot just how much opposition they faced. Likewise, today, in conflict situations where stress levels tend to zoom upwards, whether it's in families, places of business, or congregations, we tend to forget just how much our good and gracious God has done for us. Most congregations want the church of the 50s and 60s, or they want the young pastor, 25, 30 years old, married to the dutiful little wife with 4 children, because that's sure to make the church grow. If only we had Pastor Love back, our congregation would be comfortable and at peace again. Oh, for the good old days when... Well, I'm sorry to tell you, beloved, those good old days are not coming back. I wish they were too. I would do anything to see every inch of these pews filled. The church of today is going to look a lot different than what the church of the 50s and 60s looked like. That does not mean that we will not grow. That does not mean that we will not fulfill the biblical mandate of Jesus Christ by being his hands and feet to the community, by feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, visiting those in jails and prisons, caring for the widows and the orphans, because we will. But it's not going to look the same. And we have to focus on changing our mindset so that we can be joyful in our moving forward. Who remembers Archie and Edith Bunker? Good. Archie and Edith Bunker, all in the family, loved to sing "Those Were the Days," a duet yearning for the past. Memories they praised over and over again. But you see, when we're stuck in the past, we cannot move forward. And I'm charging you with praying us forward. I am charging you with letting go of the past, remembering beautiful things at the appropriate time, but moving us forward so that we will expand and grow. An eagle escaped the San Francisco Zoo. My daughter was born in San Francisco. We used to go to the zoo there all the time. And this beautiful eagle escaped. But it perished quickly. You see, it wasn't used to fending for itself. It had lost the ability to be a predator and fend for itself. In similar fashion, the Israelites were unused to hardship. They were unused to this new wilderness. And they struggled to believe the promises that God had for them. That's why they had to wander so much. God has promised us good, too. God has promised us that we will be his hands and feet, that we will move outside of these walls, that we will be Christ with skin on, that we will baptize and create disciples. But we have to believe that, and we have to start embracing what church looks like today and what it will look like in the future. The number one spiritual need in America today, according to the Gallup poll, is the need for people to find purpose. And beloved, we can give that to people. For we know the purpose that all human beings were created for. We were created to be in relationship with our loving Maker, to worship him, to be dependent upon him, and to be interdependent with one another. This world is so confused. We're either too independent, we don't want to rely on anybody, we don't want to ask for help from anybody, or we're so dependent that we can't make it without receiving from someone else. God created us to be in relationship with him. That is our main purpose in life. To praise him, to worship him, to be in relationship with him, and to be in relationship with one another. And what is God's will for our life? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17, to pray unceasingly. And then for our specific will and purposes, we look at what our spiritual gifting is, what our natural talent is, and we match our passions, our gifts, and our talents where that intersects with the need in the community. And beloved, that is something that we can help others discover. But first and foremost, the main need of all human beings is to discover what their purpose is. Well, we know that answer. Your main purpose is to be in love, in relationship with your Creator. And if you don't know Him, we can introduce you to Him. Our vision statement, I absolutely love this, to support our community by equipping disciples and connecting seekers to Christ by growing an individual's faith and love for Jesus Christ through support, authentic relationships, and service to others. That's our purpose, Trinity United Methodist. That is our purpose. Dr. Viktor Frankl, a concentration camp survivor and a psychotherapist, one of my favorites, wrote a wonderful book titled Man's Search for Meaning. The book is now in its 73rd printing. It has been published in 23 languages. And the English editions alone have sold over 2.5 million copies. When asked about the success of his book, Dr. Frankl replied, "I do not know at all or even see a bestseller in the status of my book so much as I see an achievement and accomplishment on my part as an expression of coming out of my own misery and helping others out of the misery of our time, the time that we live in, where hundreds and thousands of people reach out, desperately searching for connection and purpose in life. People desperately need to belong. They need first to find what their purpose is in life, and second, a place to belong. We can become that for people. Or we can be like the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, complaining and grumbling and wanting to go backwards. This food, this grace that was given to the Israelites, this manna, becomes food and sustenance for them for 40 years. Our food, our mainstay, our sustenance is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. To pray unceasingly, to praise, to offer thanksgiving, to invite at all times God's presence into our midst. Let us pray now and then go into singing. Father God, we thank you for all the good and gracious gifts that you have given us, for everything we have has come from your hands. Lord, please forgive us for the times where we have grumbled, for the times where we are extra grace required people. Lord, we ask that you would touch our spirits and remind us of all the times where you have given us exactly what we needed when we needed. And we ask for the faith that you will again provide when we have need. Lord, we offer our spirits, our presence, our prayers, our gifts, our talents, and all we have to you, that you might mold us and shape us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.